in all these speeches, as good as they were, is that she's in the White House right now. Democrats have controlled the White House for 12 of the last 16 years. And for all of the talk about division and the problems in the country and people are hurting, Democrats have mostly controlled this country. Trump had it for four. The Obamas and Biden had it for the rest of the time. And somehow, it's still all Trump's fault, and somehow she hasn't been at the center of it. So to me, that's still the glaring hole in this campaign that hasn't yet been solved at the convention. How do you explain all of the problems that will be solved by the person who is currently in there for the last 3.5 years who is supposed to already be working on solving it?
Scott Jennings on CNN talking about the conundrum that the Democrats have at this convention, located in Chicago, of course, trying to say, you know, if we're talking about hope being reignited into American voters right now, why were they feeling hopeless like yesterday or maybe even a month ago when Kamala Harris wasn't the coronated person to take the nomination for the Democrat Party? And what is the significance of this existing in a beautiful city like Chicago that has been ruined by Democratic policies? Wanted to get our friend on here, Congressman Darren LaHood. Welcome back to the show. Congressman, thank you for being here today.
Annie, great to be with you and your listeners.
Well, we appreciate you. You are the representative for Illinois' 16th district. A lot of people know the Peoria area. I'll be in Peoria, I think, in October for a volleyball tournament. And, you know, when I think about Chicago, just a little bit further north from Peoria from where we are, I think that it's kind of a clarion call for voters right now to look at what these sustained far leftist progressive policies will do to a city. Over and over and over again, you continue to choose this type of leadership. This is what the city ends up looking like, even though it should be one of the best places in the nation. I think that's what a Kamala Harris presidency will do in our federal government.
Well, Annie, there's no doubt about it. Chicago is a poster child for what happens with really terrible policy in our nation. And it is ground zero for what's gone wrong with the progressive, radical, really anti-American policies that's been put in place by our mayor, who's a disaster, Mayor Brandon Johnston, and our governor, J.B. Pritzker. You look at our crime rate. We're going to have a record amount of murders in Chicago this year. You look at our out-migration of people leaving Illinois. We lead the nation in people wanting to leave Illinois because of high taxes, because of no support for our police. You look at the fact that, you know, our business climate is not good at all. We just have another company, Morton Salt, announced they're leaving Chicago. So the media is never going to tell you any of this. But when you think about what Kamala Harris and Biden stand for, it's really doubling down on what's wrong with Illinois. And frankly, that's not the direction I want to go. I love Illinois. I'm a fourth generation Illinoisan. You know, I'm raising my family here. We have really good people in the state. But as you know, Annie, elections have consequences. And Chicago and Illinois is a poster child for what's wrong with the current trajectory of this country under a Biden-Harris under Biden-Harris leadership.
You're right. You're 100% right. And, you know, I, too, have been Illinois my whole life, generationally so. Family from a generational farm met a man who I married who his family has a generational farm. And this soil is great. And this land is celebrated worldwide for what it has to offer. And it just seems like the Democrat policies that grab a hold of it, they so quickly chase people away. And it's in the numbers. It's in the statistics. I'm wondering what your hope is for a state like Illinois to try to right the ship. And for a country, should they choose Kamala Harris in this next election? I mean, how far does it get before it's too far gone?
Well, it's interesting. In your opening, you played that important clip from Scott Jennings on CNN. I mean, when you watch this Democrat convention in Chicago, you'd never think Kamala Harris had been the vice president for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
You'd think she's a first-time candidate. I mean, that's what's crazy. She's been in office for almost 4 years now and has been complicit and the co-chair of the Biden disastrous policies that have been put in place. You know, when I listened to President Obama and Michelle Obama last night, they have very good oratory skills. They can give a good speech. But I never heard them talk once about the 9 million people that have been streaming across our border illegally. Heard nothing about how inflation has ravaged low-income and poor people in the middle class. You heard nothing about the murder rate in Chicago. Nothing about that. And so it's almost like the Twilight Zone that we're watching a convention and they're not taking ownership. They're coming up with solutions for problems they created.
Yes. Yes. And that's the cycle, because they sell you the solution every election cycle and people go, okay, well, they see me, they identify my problem. However, it doesn't really feel, at least in my experience of what I've been consuming through social media, which is always curated, so I understand that. It's all anecdotal. But people aren't really buying the Kamala Harris sell as much as I think that they need them to be buying that sell. Are people waking up to the reality that, you know, the Harris ticket is like the Biden, it's the same thing as the Biden administration, maybe a little bit more progressively worse, and that you can't talk me out of understanding what my checking account says, or what my bills say, or the gas pump, or the grocery bill. I mean, do people understand their own reality more than they're being persuaded by the Democrats to believe an alternate reality?
Well, like I said before, people have to understand that elections have consequences, and you just have to look at the bad policies over the last 4 years and what they've done to people's pocketbooks. But make no mistake about it, elections are about the future. And we have an obligation and responsibility as conservative Republicans to make sure that President Trump wins. Now, what does that mean? It means, you know, we have to be focused. We have to be disciplined. We have to stick to the issues. You know, I've recommended we stay away from the insults and racial politics and just focus on the issues, because I think we have plenty of ammunition there to take them on. And you're right, Annie, that people are not educated on Kamala Harris. It's amazing how many people didn't even know she was vice president. And so, you know, after Labor Day is going to be the important time where we really have to get people focused. And I think when you do the side by side and you talk about how people's lives are much different today and worse off than they were during the Trump administration, but that takes discipline. That takes being focused. It takes a commitment to do that. And I have all the confidence in the world that we can do that. But it's going to take some work to do that. And make no mistake about it, this is going to be a close election. This is not Joe Biden we're running against, and we have to focus on her and her terrible record.
I want to key in a little bit on J.B. Pritzker and Mayor Johnson and how they've got, you know, Democrat policies on top of Democrat policies, squarely focusing on Chicago there, where the Democrats said this is where we want to stake our claim. We want to put it in Chicago. Then they board everything up. They surround their convention with police officers they want to defend. They build walls to keep people out of a place that they want to protect. All things they won't do for the American people, but they will, through the donations from elitist groups, they'll give themselves those protections. You know, I'm just wondering why Brandon Johnson is okay with all of these walls and all of this investment in law enforcement in his city when he won't invest in that for his own people who pay those taxes.
Well, I mean, that's spot on. And there's many contrast and contradictory policies being put in place by Mayor Johnson. I mean, he has decimated the police. If you talk to any police officer in Chicago, no one wants to work there anymore because of what they've done to the city and really dehumanizing our police force there. But here's what Illinois is known for now. We're known because of the policies of J.B. Pritzker and Brandon Johnson. And we're known for cannabis. That's what we thrive in, is cannabis and abortion on demand. In the meantime, all the other states around us are thriving and prospering because, again, of good public policy in place on low taxes, taking care of the pension system, creating a good business climate. And Illinois is now a sanctuary state. They love bragging about being a sanctuary state. This year, J.B. Pritzker will spend $800 million of state taxpayer money to fund illegal migrants for housing, for education, for food. I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous. I think people are waking up, but this is going to be important that we remind people of it.
We're speaking with Congressman Darren LaHood. He is Illinois' 16th District Representative from the Peoria area. He's also a member of the Ways and Means Committee and the House Intel Committee and the Select Committee on the CCP. Congressman, I hear, you know, you've chosen to run and represent people in Illinois. I live in Illinois, of course. I work in St. Louis, Missouri. I get asked all the time, like, Annie, why are you still there? And I always say it's my home and it's worth fighting for. And I have every intention of continuing to do that. Is Illinois, like in your mind, is it worth fighting for? Or are we just trying to hold on to what we got until it's completely gone?
No, absolutely. It's worth fighting for. I mean, I have I have confidence in the people that I represent. You know, people are going to wake up to the change that we need in the state. There's still a lot of good people that care deeply about the state that are in Illinois. And you mentioned at the beginning, we have some of the most fertile farmland in the entire world. We got a great transportation system. We have wonderful educational system throughout the state of Illinois. We have good, hardworking people. We've had terrible governance. And when you couple that with J.B. Pritzker, who spent $160 million his first race, $140 million his second race, he basically bought the governorship in Illinois. I think that's going to change in 2026. We're going to have an opportunity to put up a good candidate for governor, good candidate for U.S. Senate in 26. And I think we can overcome these things. And, you know, in the area that I represent, we are the same as Indiana or Iowa or Missouri, where they've elected good Republicans in those states. So I remain hopeful that we can turn it around in Illinois.
What does it look like for you? Like, what needs to be offered to the voters as an alternative to the J.B. Pritzker Democrat way for Illinoisans to consider collectively an alternative? Because I think that right now that's the same position that a lot of voters across the country are in, whether they're going to, you know, pull the lever for Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. It's like, what do we have to offer in our state that will get enough people to say, we're not doing this anymore, we're willing to try something else?
Well, I think it's education first and foremost. You know, it's hard to articulate what we believe in as Republicans. It's opportunity, it's freedom, it's the ability to prosper and do well. And Democrats offer free things, right? I just mentioned $800 million to illegal immigrants. Free things are easier to justify when you're a Democrat. And we have to do a better job in articulating and educating members and advocating what freedom, what opportunity means, how you can prosper and do well under Republican principles. I think we have some really good young rising stars in our Republican Party, whether that's Elise Stefanik, my colleague, whether it's Byron Donald, young people in our party that stand for our principles. I think we have to get out and educate people more and explain to people more what we believe in as Republicans. I think and we got a good deep bench in Illinois of rising young conservatives that I think will be very impactful in our next election. But it takes hard work, and you got to overcome the billionaire dollars that J.B. Pritzker has put in. But I have all the confidence that we can do that in this next election cycle.
I appreciate you, Congressman, for being with us and for shining a light on it. And I always think it's important to remember the positivity, the asset that Chicago is to the state of Illinois, and how much destruction has been put upon it by the Democrat policies. The city is great, and it needs to be made to be great again. And you are absolutely right. I'm going to share the article that you wrote, the op-ed that you wrote on this for the Washington Reporter, because you squarely focus how we can make things better again, but alert people to the problems that are right in front of us right now that we can handle. We appreciate you being on with us today.
Yep. Amen. Thanks, Annie.
Look forward to coming
back on, too.
Yes, please do. We would love to have you. Congressman Darren LaHood, representing Illinois' 16th District, up in Peoria, central Illinois, some might say northern Illinois, depends on where you draw the line. Everybody draws it differently, and you can tell where they're from in Illinois by how they identify the different locations in Illinois. Northern Illinois, southern Illinois, central Illinois, Chicago. Great to have him on the show to speak with us today. We are going to take a quick break, and we're going to speak next with Sue Liebel. She's the Midwest Regional Director at Susan B. Anthony, SBAProLife.org. And we're going to talk about Missouri. We're going to talk about abortion. We're going to talk about the politics surrounding it and hear what Sue has to say about it when we come back.